Oh God, help us to recognize and be part of the ripples of grace that started at creation and are still rippling through your good world. All in the name of Christ. Amen. I don't know how many of you pay attention to the Nobel Prizes when they're awarded, but I'm always interested to see what's going on. This year there was an interesting award in the area of arts and literature. Bob Dylan, who would have thought, right? Who would have thought? He's been nominated actually for many, many years, and people thought it was sort of a joke and that he would never get it, but he got it. But I'm always interested in the scientists who are awarded these prizes, mostly because I can't understand a thing about what they're studying. I mean, when I read into their research, it is sort of mind-expanding and mind-blowing, the depth and the things that they're doing, particularly in physics. You know, if you try to read and understand the awards that are given out in physics or in chemistry, sometimes in medicine as well. But it's a pretty amazing way of honoring these people that are sorting God's creation and understanding and exploring the universe in deep ways. Now, if you pay attention to those science awards particularly, it's very rare that someone's awarded something in the year that they've done something big. It's usually sort of a ripple effect that they've traced the source to now back from the seminal science that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago and has opened up a whole new field in physics or in chemistry or subatomic particles or something like that. For example, when Watson and Crick won their Nobel Prize in 1962 for the discovery of DNA, which has changed and revolutionized the world, the research that they were being recognized for, it actually happened in the 1940s and the 1950s. And so it was only a little bit later when they saw the ripple effects of what had happened that they were able to go back and trace it to the pebble that had been dropped in the sea, so to speak. These were the effects, and now we can go back and honor the great thinkers that sort of put it in motion. Ripple effects are in abundance in our world and in the communities in which we live and in our lives every single day. We are part of ripple effects. I am so happy to be a part of a congregation that is overflowing with ripple effects every day. Ripple effects of grace that are just sort of expand outward all the time. Now, the book of Genesis is full of stories like the Nobel Peace Prize that sort of look backwards after seeing the ripples that have gone out to figure out what was the pebble that was dropped in the water. And so in the book of Genesis, for example, when they're trying to understand how did violence come into the world, we have a story in the book of Genesis that sort of is the prototypical act of violence. Do you remember what that is? Cain and Abel, right? So the Israelites look back and they look back to this story. They said, there was a brother pitted against a brother. And that famous line in there, am I my brother's keeper? The answer we know is yes. But in that instance, the answer was no. And so looking back, where did violence come from? It had to start somewhere. Or take the issue of languages. Why is it that we have a globe and a world that speaks so many different languages? Well, the Israelites had a story for that too. They had a drop, a pebble story. What was that? Babel, the story of Babel. And so all of these languages that emanated out of there. When the Israelites were trying to understand their covenant relationship with God, they looked back to the beginning of that covenant with who? Abraham, right? Abraham, the first sign of trust in God and how this emanated out from generation to generation to generation from there. And they told that story over and over. And the primal story in the book of Genesis, of course, is the story of creation. Where did we come from? Why are we here? What is our purpose in the world? What's it mean to be given great responsibility in God's good creation? On the sixth day of creation, we heard for us so well from the message earlier, God bless them, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish and the sea and the birds and the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Now, sometimes we've heard this translated, have dominion over everything. And I think that we have misused that power at times. when we have seen the earth as just ours to take from, if you will. We've seen the effects, the ripple effects of what it means when we are just consumers of the planet's resources and not caretakers. We have a lot of concern right now about what we're doing to our environment, and we see the small ripple effects of raising the temperature of the earth just a little bit by little bit by little bit, and the rising sea levels and the droughts and all of the effects that come from that. Closer to home, we know the ripple effects that have taken place on the bay and what an intricate ecosystem that is and how fragile that ecosystem is. Those of us who love and live near the bay, we have seen the bay, the report card that gets issued for the bay every year, right? A failing grade for many, many years. It's starting to get better. It's like up to a C minus or something like that, or a D plus. I can't remember which it is. But where, if you live where I do, down in Eastport, a couple blocks away is the Maritime Museum. And the Maritime Museum used to be the McNasby's old oyster house. And so that's where they would process oysters. And there's a lot of education about life on the water there. And there's one very visual display that shows the amount of oysters that were harvested from the bay back at the turn of the century, the beginning of the 1900s. And there's this giant, giant pile of oysters. And the number that are harvested today, and there's like one or two, it's like 1% of what used to be harvested. And what we've discovered is that not only do oysters taste good, right? They taste good to some people. Some people think they're disgusting. But we've eaten a lot of them, right? We've produced them. We've harvested and over-harvested the bay. We've discovered not only were we just feeding our appetites, but what else? We were taking away the best thing to clean the bay, the purifying effect of those oysters on the bay. And so when then we started to add all the runoff from our farms and all of the chemicals and all of the development that sort of spills in the bay, and this wonderful, marvelous, and intricate thing that we've been called to take care of and steward has suffered as a result of those little ripple effects, all of our decisions, all of those ways that we have cared for and not cared for the bay. God bless them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Be responsible for all the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, for everything that lives and moves on the face of the earth. Are we, is my AV guy here? Let's see if this is going to work. I think that we might be at the right place. No? Oh, sorry, we have two blank slides, and I thought we were there a little too soon. All right. So I think the question that the creation story asks us at a very basic level is if we will be consumers of God's world or will be stewards of God's world. And that's a pretty fundamental question. And how we answer that question, will we be caretakers of all that God has entrusted us with? Because the story says God made us like God in that we have the capacity to oversee. We have the capacity to think, and we have the capacity to care for all of the things that God has made. And we can either just keep hoarding and grabbing up all of the resources for ourselves, or we can be responsible stewards. Not only just in a global sense, but also in a very local sense of our own lives. The things that God has trusted you with, your life experience, your talents, all of the resources that you have, will you just consume, consume, consume? Or will you be someone that drops pebbles of grace and expands the circles of grace in the world? Now, you may recognize Gwen Linthicum, and you may recognize even in the event that she's holding a large pelican at our most recent garage sale. We had our charge conference yesterday, and we were down in Edgewater at St. Andrew's United Methodist Church, and our leadership team was there, and we were talking about some of the things that are going on. I love charge conference. Well, I don't really love charge conference. The thing I love about charge conference is that we, as your pastors, get to brag on you as a congregation. And so there's an official form that they ask us to fill out that lists all these technical kinds of things that we have to post to the conference. But more importantly, we've decided over the last couple of years to tell the top 10 stories of this congregation. So if you'd like, on your way out of church today, you can pick one of these up. And it'll tell the stories. And it tells some amazing things that you all have been doing this year as a congregation. From retiring mortgages to the kinds of interesting things we've been doing here in worship to the mission that continues to define and drive us and the transitions that we've had here on staff and the new cancer support group, that new pebble that's been dropped. It's called Never Alone now, that new group that's forming for people living with cancer or are fighting that battle. The ways that we've been creative with our Stations at the Cross art exhibit, the mission trips that have taken us outside of ourselves and outside of this community. All kinds of really good stories to tell, I think. And I hope that you'll pick one of these up and you'll see it. It'll also be posted on the website this week if you'd like to look at it. But we chose to have a witness. We were invited to bring in a witness, and we picked Gwen to come and talk about all things the garage sale as a missional witness. That was our mandate. Bring in a missional witness. And we said, you know, here's a story that needs to be told, because here's a story about ripples of grace that go out. Gwen stood up before us and she told us, you know, this is a ministry to our congregation because it helps us get rid of stuff. And it helps us take account of whether we are just consuming more than we need or if we are willing to just freely let go of that. So that's the first thing. It's also a ministry to ourselves and to our membership because it is a community building event. For a week, people come together and they sit and they work and they price stuff and then they eat together and they talk, and people who never would connect to each other in this congregation form community and form connections. And for some people, this is a really important thing. They do it year after year after year. And so there's this community element to that as well. Then there's the outreach component. There's many levels of outreach to this. So we have, for example, before we even do our own for sale shopping, we invite all of our mission groups to come in and go through, whether you're Living Well or Heaven's Kitchen or any of the mission groups will come in and we'll find things that are helpful for the tent ministry or for all of these things. Take them away. Let's just give away some things first. And then the day of the sale itself, some people come and they shop and they get a good deal here and they're going to go resell it. We can't do a thing about that. And there are people who come and buy stuff that don't need any stuff. We can't do a thing about that either. But we're also very aware of the people who come to our sale and buy bags and bags of clothes for their children who cannot buy them at Target and who cannot buy them in other places. Or who come in and they see, oh my gosh, a bicycle or a big play toy that I could never afford or housewares to set up a kitchen. We have, every year, we have people who are newly settled in our country and in our community that are coming, and this is a godsend to them. Because for very little money, they can outfit a whole apartment. They can offer things to their family that they didn't think possible. And so it becomes a ministry of outreach just like that. And then as soon as the sale is over, she wanted to say, we have people come in after the sale and get more stuff for other ministries. Anywhere from 15 to 20 groups benefit from all of the things that are here. And then if there's stuff left over, and there always is, a couple truckloads, that goes out to the veterans. And it goes out to be recycled, and books get donated away. And so that multiplies the effect. And of course, then we raise some money as well. But that's not the whole story, is it? The money is sort of like almost the afterthought. But that money itself provides funds and resources to send out teams to West Virginia and all over the globe and to do mission work. So what Gwen was telling us is that there are ripple effects just from this. And I am so excited to be part of a congregation where there are ripple effects, ripples of grace everywhere I look here. Seeds of faith that are being planted. And over the next several weeks, we will explore what it means to be part of a community where we are invited to participate in God's ripples of grace in the world, with our own resources, in our own lives, with the way that we pool resources together. Some of you have seen this video that went viral this this summer. We have a way in our technological society of sending out ripples big and loud right away now. You know, things can go viral on the internet and boom, everyone hears about them. The ripple effect is pretty instantaneous. My daughter sent me this link to Henry, the emotional environmentalist. Henry is a young boy, maybe 5 years old. He is the son of a friend of hers, living out in Washington State. So she has sort of a connection to this little boy. And Henry's had been at school learning about pollution in the world, people who weren't taking good care of God's good earth. And he had a meltdown. And this is his meltdown. I think he means stupid. The S word. So, as you can imagine, this pebble dropped in the internet sea had immediate effects. When this video was seen over and over, suddenly he was on the Ellen show and he got national coverage. And he did do what his mom suggested, not just scream at these people, but take his young life to be a steward of God's creation, to go over to Little Mountain, which is a preserve near their home. And he wears his vest, his ranger vest, and you can now be part of Henry's Planet Police. He's written a book, a young environmentalist, about his passionate care for the environment and the world. I hate these dumb people. I might even use a worse word. Stupid. Stupid people. And you can help Henry save the planet. Now, I love that story because it's a story about a pebble that gets dropped in the ocean, him taking his small witness, his voice, his passion, his tears, his sense of injustice, and then inviting others into it. It sort of ripples out, ripples of grace that go out. Robert Kennedy said, every time a person stands up for an idea or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, these ripples, or those ripples, build a current that can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. Most of the world is changed by small pebbles and then the ripples that emanate. Or Joyce Meyer put it this way, each time we act to improve the life of another person, we send forth a ripple of hope in what appears to be a hopeless society. Friends, we are inviting you over these next several weeks to consider how you will participate in the ripples of grace in the world. By your stewardship of your own gifts, by the stewardship of your own life, by your willingness to take a stand for what you believe in and be passionate about it and to share freely, knowing that God looks down on this earth and says, this is a good place. And I need you. I need you to help me keep it that way. Amen.